Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Percy Jackson Son of Poseidon podcast. This is going to be my review for episode 4 of the show, titled I Plunge to My Death, which is the title of chapter 13 in the first book. And it's the episode with the Chimera Monster, so speaking of chimeras, be sure to check out my book, Chimera Prophecies and Other Short Stories. Link is in the description below. If you like science fiction short stories, be sure to check my book out. You can get it available on Amazon. So, all right, let's get into my review for Percy Jackson and the Olympians, fourth episode. So I like the opening scene of Sally trying to teach young Percy how to swim, because obviously he's the son of Poseidon, and, you know, he needs to know how to swim. And I like that she says, like, we paid for this class, Percy, which it sounds like a very mom thing to do. Like, you know, we paid for that, you better do it. I just kind of like that. Like, the interactions with Percy and his mom, I think, are just really done well for this show to really show their connection. And so I really like that. And of course, that comes back kind of at the end of the episode where, you know, Percy is in the river. Obviously, he knows how to swim by now. And then the river spirit tells him to breathe, just like he was telling his mom to breathe in the pool. And so I really like that. And then we also get like a scene, like another nightmare scene where Kronos is speaking to young Percy this time. And I do like that because it's a good way to build up the mystery and the Kronos as a villain for the series. So it's like we're just sprinkling in these little nuggets of Kronos. And it's very kind of mysterious and like, what are we doing? But that is in the book as well. So I do like that. And then we pick up with the trio sleeping on a train. So they've gotten their way on a train. They're trying to go to Los Angeles. And I like the conversation between Percy and Annabeth. We learn about Annabeth's backstory. And that she was a gift to her father from Athena. That's how the children of Athena are created. But she ran away at age 7 because, you know, her stepmom thought she was a problem. And that's all from the book as well. So it's a nice character building moment for Annabeth. And I like her explanation of why she's, like, so cynical towards humans, right? Like, why she needs... And, you know, because, you know, it's not just the gods that treat the demigods, the children, like crap. It's everybody. And so she does have this like cynical view kind of on people, and that's why she doesn't trust people, and that's why like Percy needs to like earn her respect and stuff. So I do like that moment of them talking together. And then there's a cool moment where they're talking and they look out the window of the train and they see the centaurs running, you know, freely in the wild. And, you know, while that's like, that's really cool to see, I do like that. I don't think that's in the books, but I do like that. I just think they could have done more with it visually. Like, if we have, like, Percy, like, looking out the window, and he sees horses, and then, like, we slowly push in past the mist, and then they turn into centaurs, right? Like, so we're, like, seeing what Percy actually sees. Like, that would just kind of add to the, like, magical wonder of experiencing this mythological world. And I just feel like the show just doesn't have enough of that awe and wonder and whimsy with these fantastical creatures and elements and things. I think we could do a lot more with the idea that normal people see things differently through the mist, and then we see what really is, you know, Percy and Annabeth and Grover see. I think we could have done more with that with this show. But still, it's kind of a fun scene. And then Grover and Annabeth explain Pan, the god of the wild, disappeared a long time ago, and that satyrs get their searcher's license in order to go find Pan, and that none have tried, and they do mention Grover's uncle Ferdinand, that we saw as a statue in Medusa's garden. He was a searcher, and this sort of sets up Grover's overarching story throughout the whole series, all 5 books, is that Grover, you know, that's his goal is to be a searcher and find Pan, the god of the wild. So I like that we're setting that up here. And then we meet the mother of monsters, Echidna. And I really like her scenes talking with the kids and, like, her philosophy of that, like, demigods are the monsters and it's her purpose to hunt them down. I like that she thinks, like, she's a good mom for teaching the Chimera to, like, hunt. And I think it just kind of provides, like, this her being this, like, motherly figure to the monsters. And I think it just kind of provides an interesting contrast to the fact that, like, Athena and Poseidon are, like, hands-off, non-contact with Annabeth and Percy. We even get, like, Athena purposely not helping, and then, like, Poseidon kind of steps in at the very end. But, like, it's kind of an interesting contrast in that, like, Echidna, you know, takes pride in her monster children and really has that motherly vibe, and she thinks the demigods are the problem. So I like the sort of contrast. I think it's a really good villain. I think she did a good job. She's she kind of comes off as like very cheerful about it all, which is, makes it like very even like more menacing. So I really do like Echidna, and then the Chimera I think looks really cool and everything. And I think it's funny like when the family on the train like looks out and they just see like a little puppy dog running across. That's really funny. It's a funny sight gag. But again, I think we could have done more with that. Like we could have had them at the arch and had like normal people just seeing them like run away from like a little puppy. That could be fun. So this show just needs more fun. And I think we could be doing that more visually if we like would just, you know, translate what Percy and the demigods see through the mist versus what humans see through the mist. I think that could just add a lot more fun to the show. But oh well. And so then the trio end up at the St. Louis Arch because it's a tribute to Athena. And I like the conversation between Percy and Annabeth here as well because they're discussing their relationships to their parents, the gods. And Percy says that he's never wanted anything from Poseidon, while Annabeth is always trying to kind of hold on to that hope that Athena does actually care for her and that she's going to be there for her. And that's why, you know, she takes pride in going to these tributes to Athena and everything. And so that's a really great moment between the two of them, and Percy almost calls Annabeth a friend. And so this episode does a lot to build up the relationship between Percy and Annabeth, which I really like. And then Echidna and the Chimera catch up to them, and you know, Percy tries to fight the Chimera on his own, but he's weak from the sting. And so then he falls from the top of the arch, and he's caught by like this water tornado that, you know, drops him in the river. And so he's saved by the water spirits, and they tell him to trust Poseidon and then to breathe, which again is what Percy told his mom at the beginning of the first episode, to breathe. And so I think we're going to see Percy breathing underwater at the beginning of the next episode. And so they, yeah, that's the end of the episode, but I really thought it was, I thought they did a lot of good stuff here. You know, so I really like the episode, but I still think the show suffers from some pacing issues and from being a little overly too serious. Like, there's just not enough fun elements in the show. Like, Grover in the books, he's like the comedic relief character, and he's just like too serious in the show. Like, he gets like a couple of funny lines every now and then. Annabeth gets a couple of funny lines. Percy gets like one or two. Like, they each only get like one or two. But it should be more fun. We should be having a little bit more fun with the show. You know, there's a few small moments here and there, but that's really not enough. Again, who is this show for? I don't know that kids are having enough fun with the show to be watching it. And I don't know if it's interesting enough to keep the parents watching either. Like, I think it's kind of in this weird middle zone. I think it's just barely good enough. The whole family can watch it. But I wish they still had more of that fun, whimsy type element to it. I really think it could have been a great show if we just had that little bit more fun with it, because I really think they're doing some really good stuff so far with taking the mythology seriously and taking the villains seriously, the monsters. I just want a little bit more of that fun fantastical element to it. I hope we get it maybe in the upcoming episodes and get some more stuff, but anyway, so yeah, so this show, I think, this episode, I think it was pretty good. And you know, the things I do like are the monsters and the villains. And I loved, you know, Mrs. Dodds, the Electo Fury. I really liked Medusa last episode and Echidna here. I think they are creepy, they're menacing, and yet they're interesting, right? I think, you know, they each have their own personal motivations and philosophies for catching the trio, not just because they've been ordered to do so, right? Like, Mrs. Dodds failed to get Annabeth, Talia, and Luke all those years ago, so she's seeking, like, redemption, right, by trying to do this. Medusa seeking, like, revenge on Percy and Annabeth for, you know, their parents cursing her, right? And Echidna believes that demigods are the true monsters. So, like, I like that these villains aren't just, like, one-dimensional villains out to get the kids. Like, they have other motivating factors behind them. I think that makes them a lot more interesting. And I think the creature monsters look really good. I thought the Chimera looked amazing. I thought it was really creepy, but also not, like, too scary for kids, right? And so, yeah, I think that's where the show is kind of excelling, is with the villains. I still think this episode had less pacing issues. This episode went a little bit better than the previous couple episodes that definitely had some pacing issues and felt very rushed, especially that first episode. This one's a little bit better, so hopefully maybe they can kind of figure that out. And I think the kid actors are doing a good job in the roles. This episode did a lot to build up their relationships with each other, especially Percy and Annabeth, because in the books, Percy and Annabeth, you know, kind of in the future series, they like each other, right? And eventually they do get together. And so I kind of feel like you need to have those two actors have some sort of chemistry in order to root for them. And I think this episode kind of builds that a little bit. And you can kind of see, like, Annabeth and Percy are kind of like, yeah, you're kind of cool. You're not too bad, right? And they're becoming less antagonistic towards each other. So I do like what we're doing with those characters. I think Grover needs a little bit more to do. He's kind of just being sidelined of the trio. But it's still, I really like the three main cast characters. So overall, I really liked this episode. I think it did a good job adapting those chapters from the book and building the series as a whole. And I liked Echidna. I liked the Chimera. I like going to the St. Louis Arch, right? I've never been to the Arch. I have been to St. Louis, but I never went to the Arch. So I was always wondering, how do they get up to the top? But they show it in the show, how they take these little tram cars up there, which is kind of cool. So I do like all of those elements as well. And I really liked Annabeth and Percy. And there's just a little bit more fun in this episode, which is kind of cool. And it kind of leaves off on a little bit of a cliffhanger. So I'm looking forward to the next episode. So that's it. Thank you all for listening to the Percy Jackson of Poseidon podcast, my review for episode 4. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Did you like it? Did you maybe not like it as much as I did? Do you still think the show is, you know, kind of iffy? Or do you think it's really good? Like, let me know what you guys think. Be sure to subscribe to the channel for more Percy Jackson content. So thanks again. Until next time, who's Froofy? You're Froofy. What's Froofy? Bye.